Good morning. Okay, I'll call the worship this morning as a reference to God's love, mercy, and the peace that he gives. It comes from 2 John 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and in love. Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Glorious Father, we thank you for each and every day for having mercy upon us. Through your love, we are given endless mercy and peace in our lives. Please give us the strength and the wisdom to have mercy upon each other and keep us at peace, a time when peace is really hard to find. We ask for your forgiveness from the many sins that we live in, Lord. And we ask that you allow us to walk in your light every day of our short lives. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. We have a very special guest speaker this morning. Comes all the way from Church of Hope at the Women's Prison in Pier. Pastor Kimberly LaPlante, please come forward.
Well, I have help today. My hubby and my partner in ministry is here with me, and I really wanted him to share. Last time I shared about how I got into prison ministry last summer, I think I was here, and I wanted him to share a little bit about his work with me there at the women's prison as well, and so I'm going to give him a little bit of time.
Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name.
Daniel.
My name is Daniel. On the way up, we was talking about ministry, and I said, in Bible college, they told us to fake it till you make it. So I said, I'm actually an actor, and I do acting of a preacher on Sundays. So I got saved March 9th, 1990. Soon after that, I was reading the Bible, and Matthew chapter 25, verse 36 said, "For I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me." And so I thought, well, that means I have to go and visit the prisoners. I didn't know that, you know, you didn't read something in the Bible and didn't do it, you know. I got to do this. And I called them up and I said, "I want to come to prison." And they said, "Why?" And I said, "Because the Bible says to visit the sick and imprisoned. And so I want to do what God is telling me to do, you know." And I think that, you know, in America, we are in a spiritual crisis right now. A spiritual crisis in the midst of the greatest revival that has ever happened since the Reformation. Technology has allowed God's word to go out into places like Vietnam. You know, they got the iPods now that they can have a whole microchip full of teaching on a little transistor device that is powered by the sun. And people can listen to God's word in any language they want. And so the church is growing. And so we need to realize that God's word is serious and that we need to take God serious and we need to do what the word says. And so we need to think about the sick and imprisoned. And I said, why the imprisoned? And then I realized that the word says that one day the church, our people of the church, will be handed over to the magistrates and thrown into jail. Jesus was thrown into jail. John the Baptist was thrown into jail. All of our great leaders of the New Testament at one time were thrown into jail. And I like, we sing a song in prison and it says that Jesus is the chain breaker, you know, and it's a really good song. They worship hard in prison. I like to be in worship there because when you see someone pour out all of their heart into one worship song, it really helps you connect with God. And I think that's why God wants us to be around other Christians, is that we can get a jump start from those that have more than we have. And we're made to be with each other. And just because our brothers and sisters are in prison doesn't mean that they don't need us. And just because they're there doesn't mean that we don't think of them. And I think if we made an effort to go and to see our brothers and sisters in prison, that we're going to find out that we're actually looking at Jesus. You know, God, he's so close. He's right there. I remember we was in Sioux Falls in our ministry, and there was these two guys hanging out in front of the ministry center, and I'm walking down the street, and I walk past them, and then I hear someone yell, "Hey!" I'm like, turned around and looked, and there's this drunk Indian man, and he says, "I want chicken. I want fried chicken, and I want bread." And I was like, "Okay." And I said to myself, "I don't know. That could be Jesus. You know, that could be Jesus saying, 'I'm testing you, Dan. Are you going to give me what I need?'" And so I went to the store and I bought a chicken and bread, and I brought it back to that man and I gave it to him. And I says, "I don't know that you're not Jesus Christ, and you're not testing me to see if I won't do what your word says for me to do. So I'm going to give you everything that you want." And he was just eating it down, you know, just laughing and smiling at me. And then I heard Jesus, "If you do this to the least of these, you've done it unto me." God loved me enough to save me out of alcohol and drugs, to make me a preacher, to make a difference in our world. And I know that the girls I work with, they worship in a traditional way, but I say they're on the path. You know, the natives call it the red road. And some of us Indian preachers will say, you know, that's the red road, that's the old way, we don't do that. But if you think about what they're doing, is they're trying to get sober. They're trying to quit drugs. They're trying to make a better way in life. And when Paul and Barnabas were among the Greeks and preaching the gospel, a few Greeks came up that needed healing, and they healed them. And then it broke loose. They said, "These are gods. These are gods that have come down in the form of men, and let's go get this bull and slaughter this bull that we could honor them." And Paul had to stand up and shout to the crowd and say, "We are men just like you. Don't do this." And he said, "You have to stop worshiping these vain things." And he said, "For as in days gone by, God allowed man to worship them, or God allowed the nations to worship him in their own way." So there was a time when God allowed people to worship him in a way that was culturally relevant. And some of our girls are still back there practicing the traditional. But I tell them that, you know, this is what Acts 14:16 says, and that we are in process, and that we're in the process of receiving Christ as Savior. And when we receive Christ as Savior, he is going to fulfill all of our needs. And I said, you can mark the gospel. You can mark the gospel because it changes lives. I can say, I was addicted to drugs at one time, and I'm no longer addicted. Because the gospel and God's word put me on the right path. So the gospel is marked by changed lives. And when we bring the gospel into places like the prison, and we hear testimonies like, if I never come to prison, I'd be dead now. We get them when they're on ground zero. You know, they're at the bottom in their life. And we bring them up. And some of our strongest, best members of our church are in there for life without parole. And so they need us. And they talk about their W-2. W-2 is the person that they chose as a visitor. And some of them say, we have had a W-2 for 20 years. But they really need that outside encouragement because they are locked up. And it is a high stressor situation that they're all in. And we can come and we can bring life through the word. And so I support the traditional worship there at the prison. They don't have enough staff and they need someone with a pink tag to oversee the events that are going on. And they let me pray for them. But God is making a way. And we are looking at two situations. One situation is a very hard spiritual situation in the main prison. Yet at the work release side of the prison, it's like revival is getting ready to break out. It's like we're feeling like we're walking towards this day and this moment when it's just gonna explode. God is moving and he's answering prayers. We have women with life without parole getting released because God is answering the prayer. And I posted on Facebook the other day. I'm a Facebook prophet, by the way. There's no better way to reach 8 billion people in one keystroke as Facebook. And I said, we need to believe. We need to believe that we can change our world into whatever we want it to be. But we need to pray. We need to pray and we need to believe. And I pray for people, and I tell them, every prayer request I have ever posted on Facebook has been answered. You know, we might say, oh, that's the world. But that's the world working for us. And so I use it. And there's a lot of unbelievers on Facebook who can become believers if we will just learn what God's word says and apply it to our world. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to say a quick prayer here. Gracious God, you are so beautiful. We thank you for this amazing day. We thank you that you are the rainmaker. And Lord, at your word, you can release the rain that brings life. And so, God, as I release the word today, I pray that it would be according to your heart and that it would bring life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to speak very quickly on the passage in Jude, verse 1 through 3. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus, mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, why I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. I am starting a sermon series on the book of Jude for my church in the prison, Church of Hope. And so as I was asked earlier this week to come and preach and talk to you all, I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to preach on? And I was thinking a completely different passage. But the Lord kept bringing me back here. And so as I studied this few verses here, really Jude was writing to the church, and he was concerned because there were those that were driving a force to take people away from the truth of Christ into perhaps new doctrines or embracing doctrines of very old. And so here was Jude writing this letter. You know, one of the things that I do for the ladies there in Church of Hope is to help them discern. Many of the ladies come into the prison, and many of them have no background with God or very limited background. Certainly, theologically, they have a lack of understanding about who God is and how he acts, and especially about the Word of God. I have many women that come in and say, where do I start? I want to read the Word of God, but I don't even know where to start. And so I get them going, and but most of the ladies, there are some, like Daniel was talking about, some of our core people that are very mature Christians, but most of the ladies that I work with are baby Christians, or they are on a search. And we have many, not just Christian entities that come into the prison. We have Mormon, a Jehovah Witness, Wiccan. It goes on and on. They have a smorgasbord to choose from. And so one of my jobs is to help them discern what is truly from God. And I watch and I kind of cringe a little bit when I see a lady that's been coming and searching, and then I see her at the Jehovah Witness, and I see her at the Mormons, and I see her everywhere. And she's on a search. So my job is to direct her to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I have to do that tenderly and gently, because they are so new and they have such lack of understanding as to who Jesus is and what he looks like and what the word says. I guess that's kind of the same concern that Jude had about those that he loved in the church. He was concerned. A lot of them were new Christians. A lot of them had come from pagan practices. A lot of them were open and just like these open doors that allowed people to bring these false doctrines in. And so he called them on it and warned them out of love. Jude means, is really Judah, which Jesus was the Lion of Judah. But there also was Judas. Remember Judas? And I think sometimes things sound very much the same, but they're very different. See, Satan never deceives us with blatant, big, bold lies. Very rarely. It's the truth that's twisted where Satan gets us. Especially babes in Christ, or those that aren't in the Word, or those that aren't in prayer, or those that don't have this intimacy. But Jude was a servant. He was actually a brother of James, he calls himself, but James was the brother of Jesus, right? So Jude was the brother of Jesus. I find it interesting that Jesus' brothers actually converted after the resurrection. It took them a while to see Jesus as the Messiah. But Jude, he doesn't like come, you know, like bragging, well, I'm the brother of Jesus, so listen to me. But rather, he comes with deep humility. But he also has authority. He's a father in the church. And he has great respect, but he also has humility. One of the things that I've learned over the years of ministry is that we have to earn the right to speak into people's lives. We just can't make judgments and determination about other people's lives, even those we pastor and care for. We have to earn the right to speak in, especially when we're trying to steer them. We have to do it gently and tenderly, like a shepherd gently moves his sheep or her sheep to the path on which they should go on. And so I do that at Church of Hope. I build relationships. It was probably a couple months ago, we had a chaplain group come in, and they wanted to see the work of what I do there. And so we toured the facility. And, but as we move through the prison, I have lady after lady after lady come up to me and say, Pastor Kimberly, what are you doing here? You know, I'd be in their job site or whatever. And they'd start telling me things and, oh, can I meet with you later? Oh, this and this happened. And, the leader of this group said, you've really developed relationships. And that comes with time. It comes with, I probably meet at least 20 ladies a week, one-on-one. Sometimes that can get a little wearing because they have some pretty significant heart stories. But we have to be able to build trust in order to steer people in the right direction. And we have to speak to them in love, mercy, and peace. We're speaking to those who have been called, who are loved in the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. I'm called to bring the word of Jesus Christ, but I'm also called to disciple those. Sometimes my frustration can be when, like, people come in with teams into the prison, they do a one-day or weekend event, and they're all pumped up because so many came to Christ or whatever, which is awesome. But they don't understand that those will be discipled, and someone must disciple them, and that's my job. I walk with them long-term, mentoring. We have Bible studies. We have discipleship group. We have leadership groups. All of those things that build this person up to be a witness for Christ. See, we call ourselves a sending church because our goal is to build up women, and we actually send them out into their communities, into their families, into their networks to be a witness of Jesus Christ and what he is doing with them. That they will be a witness of the mercy and the peace and the love of Jesus Christ. See, we must treat them tenderly, at the same time speak truth. It's an interesting environment that I work in. I'm called to be a policeman or a policewoman. In that context, I wear, you know, I have a radio, I have a body alarm, I have OC, and you know, I'm expected to be the officer as well as the pastor in every event. I'm sure your pastor isn't required to wear old C or anything or break up little fights over here and there. Well, sometimes. You're at church, right? We're people. But, you know, it's walking that balance of rules versus grace. And I tend to be more grace-driven because these ladies are so, they've had rules stuffed down in their throat. They already know they can't make the mark. They've failed in every way possible. And so my tendency is towards grace, but my heart is that they would walk fully in the truth of Jesus Christ, that they wouldn't be deceived, but they would have discernment and understanding of the word of God, that they would be able to divide it, that they'd be able to say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound quite right when they're sitting with Jehovah Witness. The truth is not to be compromised. That was Jude's heart. I don't want the word to be compromised. I think in so many ways the word has been compromised, in, like Daniel was saying, in our churches. I'm going to end with this. There's so much more I could say. Maybe some other time. William Booth, do you know who he was? He started the Salvation Army. He wrote this: I consider that the chief danger in the coming century will be this: religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. We are to be people of the whole gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. We are called to have mercy on those, like Daniel was talking about, that are on a path towards the truth. But at the same time, we always have to have our compass towards the truth. I have the greatest job in the world, and I have the hardest sometimes. It's not a measuring thing, but rather it's like, I know the heaviness, the weight of my calling. And I have to contend by faith for the gospel. I have to contend by faith for what God has for each lady in that facility. And I have to contend for faith for my own self when I get discouraged and the heaviness of the ministry overwhelms me. And so I call you today to be people of the faith, that you would be those that would fight and contend for the truth of God. And these small deceptions that creep in that oftentimes become larger deceptions. May we understand and be people of discernment. As I go today, I pray that you would pray for me, and I will pray for you. The need is great. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. We are few, but thanks be to God. He is with us. I thank you for your financial support. It's been such a blessing. We've had some challenges in that area. It takes a lot to keep that ministry going inside. I thank you for that. I thank you for those that have come to the prison. I would invite you to come to a service sometime if you're able. You'll never be the same, like Daniel said. The worship is awesome. God be with you. Thank you.
Let's close with our benediction. Lord, as we take our worship, praise, and prayer from this place and into our daily lives, may our lives be sustained through the love of our Heavenly Father. May we feel the presence of our Savior walking beside us and know the power of the Holy Spirit in both our actions and our words. Amen. Have a great week.